And a good Saturday morning to you. This is the second day of September, and no, we are not at the Minnesota State Fair this morning. I want to say hello to somebody we haven't talked to in quite some time. That is ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Dan, good morning.
Well, good morning, Denny Long. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well. So good to hear your voice again. We have so much fun with our pal Nick from Lloyd's, and found out that, by golly, Nick has taken the holiday weekend off, and you're going to be here instead. Great to hear you again.
Oh, good. It's good to be here, Denny. Thanks. Yeah, Nick has earned a holiday weekend off, so here I am. I'm happy to fill in. Glad to do it.
Well, we as Nick will tell you, and probably has, that we get from comments from time to time, like, whatever happened to Dan Burns? I mean, is he still around? And
Dan
you are
Burns
still
is,
around.
Dan Bur- fact, yeah, Dan it, Burns is fine and dandy. Yep, doing just fine.
In fact, you'll see him doing some work from time to time at Lloyd's, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Absolutely.
I'm here.
All right, well, I tell you what, let's put you back to work here. If let's invite our listeners to join in. It's going to be a hot 3 days. We already had a couple of heat-related questions, Dan, and I'm sure we're probably going to get more. Any kind of a car care question you might have, now is your chance to ask ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns those questions. Again, you don't have to be a motorhead or a gearhead, nothing too complicated, although we do have technicians that listen to the show as well. But call us or text us, but do it sooner rather than later. Dan will be leaving us in about, a little over a half hour or so from now. So any kind of a car care question you may have before you bring in your vehicle for service, and you kind of want to know what could be ailing, let's hear from you. Call or text. Again, that number is 651-461-9226. Again, a couple of things that came in earlier. Here's an interesting one, given the hot weather. Everybody's talking about that. Something I've never heard before here from a listener. Can tires get overinflated in this heat?
Tires, well, they'd have to almost be overinflated before you start.
That makes sense.
I don't know if you've ever watched the tire pressure on the dash of your car, Denny, as you're driving down the highway. But I'm sure you've noticed that the tire pressure will go up a pound or two, maybe three. But that's as much as I've ever seen. And so if your tires are properly inflated, and when you inflate the tires, they always recommend the pressure that they're recommending, it says cold. So you're supposed to put that amount of pressure in when the tires are cold, and they're, of course, the manufacturer understands that as you drive down the highway on a hot day, the tires will go up a few pounds, and that's just fine. If you're looking for how much air to put in your tires, most cars, in fact, maybe all cars, have a sticker on the door jamb that will tell you the recommended pressure front, recommended pressure rear, the recommended pressure for your spare tire, and that's where you get the information, and if you put that amount of pressure in, you'll be just right. It's compensating for the fact that it might go up a pound or two in the hot weather, and that's great.
I know what you and I talk about over the years, depending on the season. Now, I've heard you recommend, like in the dead of winter, when we're 10, 15 below zero, because tires can leak then, can they not?
don't you wonder, when they say maximum pressure cold, is that the cold they're talking about, or is it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I don't think so. I think they're talking about, just a normal cool tire that has not been driven. In the wintertime, I do inflate my tires a little bit higher for that reason, that they, if they're going to leak around the seals and the valve stem, that's when they tend to leak. And, when it's severely cold like that, all the seals get stiffer. And so that's when they have a tendency to leak. So that's very normal for the pressure. So that's when they have a tendency to leak. So that's very normal for the pressure to go down in severe cold. And Denny, you've heard me tell this story and complain that, you know, because of where my service bay is at Lloyd's and where I work, when somebody pulls up behind the bay for air, it's my job to always go out when it's 20 below and put air in their tires. And that's really inconvenient. So if you're going to check that, if you're going to check your tires, do it on a moderate day when it's comfortable and plan ahead a little bit so that you don't have to worry about it when it's 20 below.
Is do most cars now have, now I know that my wife's what I call truck does not have the sensors. My car does, and I always, like you suggested a minute ago, have it on the dash. I can see, you know, where they're, the pressures are each on each tire. Are those things pretty accurate as far as those the sensing devices?
Yeah, I have found them to be pretty accurate, and I think they do a good job. A lot of cars have sensors in the tires, but they're just for a warning light. On a lot of cars, you can't actually see what the pressure is, but they're very common. And I think on most cars nowadays, they at least have the tire pressure sensors and the warning light.
I know we don't like to recommend brands per se on any particular shows we do as far as cars go. I mean, I know what I like and what I own. But a texter wants to know first of all, who makes the best hybrid system? But maybe we can go further beyond that. Are those hybrid systems that you found in your work pretty reliable?
You know, they're amazingly reliable. I don't know who makes the best one. And, you know, as with so many things in the world nowadays, they all seem to share technology and use common suppliers for parts and technology and things like that. So I couldn't name a brand that has the best technology. But that being said, they are incredibly reliable and dependable. And I personally would be very happy if one of my vehicles had a hybrid system in it. That would be just great for me.
Yeah,
I'm not quite ready for all electric because I'm too old and too old fashioned. But and that's not saying anything bad about them. They're just not for me. But I've been sold and I've watched it long enough now with hybrid systems that I would be willing to buy one of those.
Oh, I'm with you. As you know, my son Trooper Tony, has a hybrid, and so does my daughter Tina have a hybrid. And boy, I tell you what, not only are they nice vehicles all the way around, the gas mileage is unbelievable.
Yeah, especially when you get out on the highway. They're amazing.
Oh, yeah. Tell you what, I'm getting a signal here, Dan. Time for a break. Let's again invite our listeners to join in on the conversation before it gets too late. Any kind of a car care question you may have, sooner rather than later, let's hear from you. You can call in or you can text in. Again, the number is 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we're at 72 degrees. We're heading to near 96 today. Could be 100 tomorrow. Stay with us on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Yes, indeed, that'll be true a little after noon today, as a matter of fact. Denny Long, in the meantime, we're in the midst of our car care show, as usual. If you have any problems with your car, your truck, your van, you want to get a little analysis over the radio, ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns is back with us from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, for those that maybe need assistance from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Well, come on over, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
We'll get you that information before Dan leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. So do call us or text us with any problem you may have with your vehicle, 651-461-9226. You're going to have to help me with this one, Dan. Another tire question. Is 6:30 seconds safe for tires in winter driving? Tell me what that means.
They're talking about the depth of the tread. Uh-huh. And you have a we have a little tread depth gauge that you insert, you know, into the depth of the tread and measure it. And on most tires, 6/32 would be about 50% worn out. Heading into winter, that depending upon what your situation is, that's probably okay. but might have you start thinking that maybe it's time to start thinking about tires at least. But generally speaking, 6/32 is pretty good. When they get down to maybe 3 or 4/32, then they're worn out and you need to buy new tires. At 2/32, I've heard this. I've never really researched it, but I think at 2/32, they say that legally your tires aren't supposed to be on the highway anymore.
Oh, really? Okay. You know, it's funny, not funny, but it's not really timely. Here it is. We're talking about 100-degree daytime high, and I was going to ask you about snow tires. I was thinking, maybe this is the year I'm going to try that. You and I have talked over the years about that, and so many people swear by them. And I haven't had snow tires for many years, but I was thinking this might be the year to do that, especially considering last winter.
Yeah.
What do you think about snow tires?
Well, I was just going to say, I think last year was the year to have snow tires.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We'll see what happens this year, but snow tires are incredible. Absolutely. They're, you know, night and day difference with the driving conditions. And as you and I have talked about, you know, the my only hesitation is, with having snow tires is that you have to store them somewhere.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't have the space for it. And I don't want to have to deal with that. So I personally don't use snow tires. I use a good all season tire that, you know, is quiet during the summer and has good traction during the winter. But even having said that, people that have snow tires love them and they feel safer. They get them where they're going better. You know, they're safer because they manage and handle in snowy conditions better. So there's all sorts of good reasons to have snow tires. The only one that I would say is not a good idea is that you have to store them.
That's the negative, is the storage, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's grab a phone call before we have a look at that hot forecast. David is calling in this morning from Minneapolis, I believe. Thank you, David. What's your question for Dan?
Well, I drove through a puddle during that last rainstorm at a low speed, but the engine stalled, and the computer said camshaft sensor and crank sensor. And camshaft sensor A, it said. So enormous amount of work, changed the crank sensor. And before assembling it fully again, started the engine, and it seemed fine. And I've been driving it that way. It takes about 6 more cranks to start now than it did before. But it runs fine. But I still have this code that says, it sounds like a garbled code. It says crank sensor A, which should apply to the cam sensor. I don't know. Am I hurting something, or is there still something wrong, or is the computer screwy, or what?
Yeah. Well, the fact that you went through water makes me think that, well, first of all, if you went through water and if the engine got a big drink of water, which is really hard on the engine, that certainly could affect the timing of the cam and crank and then would cause sensor lights to go on. And the other thing that could have happened is if the water was deep enough and something was exposed, water could have gotten into the wiring harness and could be causing an erratic problem like that. So the fact that you've told me that you've had the engine up and running and it sounds fine, and you're driving down the road, would make me think you did not do any significant engine damage. So I think that's probably okay. The fact that these lights are coming on, I would wonder if there's a connection problem. So if the car was at the shop right now, what I would do is, hook it up to my computer and see what's exactly going on. if indeed the cam and crank sensor are reading accurately, in other words, that the light is supposed to be on, then maybe something happened, like the timing jumped with a big drink of water, where the cam and crank camshaft and crank sensor are no longer synchronized. It's not enough to affect the way the car runs. The car still seems to run okay, but there could be something going on between the timing of that. So I think that you've done it, but there could be something going on between the timing of that. So I think that you've done maybe all the diagnostics that you personally can do without some more sophisticated equipment. And I think maybe now's the time to bring it in, get some professional help. You know, we've always found out that guessing on what's wrong with a car is very expensive. Yeah. And so I think you're better off to spend a little money on some professional diagnostics, and you'll get the best answer that way.
Good advice. All right, good luck, David. Dan, we're going to take a quick break for weather. We'll be back with the remaining minutes of the show. Any kind of a car care question, get some free advice here from ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We'll give you a phone number and a text number, whichever is easier for you. But don't wait, 651-461-9226. The weather's straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we have the remaining minutes here. Call or text quickly, 651-461-9226. Dan, the texter sent this in a few minutes ago. It said, how long can antifreeze stay in a radiator before going bad?
Well, on the new technology antifreeze that's been around for quite a long time now, it's lifetime. It somehow they figured out a way for it not to be corrosive on the inside of the engine. It lubricates and conditions the internal parts on the engine, you know, where it flows. And many of the manufacturers do not recommend changing coolant on any sort of interval. Certainly, when you do a cooling system repair, you lose antifreeze and you put fresh stuff back in. But if you've got nothing going on with your cooling system, keep it full, and you'll be just fine.
That's amazing that it can last, you know, for all that time. People hanging on to their cars a lot longer. That is an amazing part of technology these days. Yeah. Seems like
Denny, it's amazing. It's amazing that you and I can keep running the way we do for all these years. So It's technology that's keeping us alive, too.
Well, the only thing is I think I need my coolant changed. That's a big difference.
Yeah, right.
We were talking about tires earlier in the show, and I know our time is limited here, but a texter wants to know, do spare tires, and we've talked about this, have an air pressure sensor in it?
Many times they do, and people will be, you know, checking the air in the four tires all day long, trying to get the light on their dash to turn off. And what oftentimes turns out to be the problem is the spare tire is low on air. They air up the spare tire and they're in good shape, and that takes care of the problem for them. So, yes, not all, but many spare tires do have sensors in them also.
Okay. I think we have time here for one more, another heat-related question. Interesting one. The texter says newer cars don't seem to get overheated like in the old days. Do you think that's true?
I think it's more common that they do not get overheated, and I think it has to do with things like electric cooling fans. You know, they have more control over the quantity of air that they're blowing through your radiator, you know, with the electronic cooling fans and all the sensors and all of that sort of thing. Back in the old days, we had a belt-driven fan that ran all the time, and you did not have nearly the control that you do with an electric cooling fan like almost all cars have now. And so I think that's probably why you don't seem to have cooling system problems like you used to.
All right. Well, Dan, we're just about out of time. I want to remind not only you, and maybe you can mention this to Nick, but as of the next two Saturdays, I'll be on a CCO Radio Good Neighbor tour. We're heading to Northern California. Some of those highlights. Really looking forward to that. I do believe our friend Steve Thompson will be filling in. So I just wanted to alert you and our listeners and maybe Nick that that's the story for the next two Saturdays. But then we'll be back after that. Dan, it's been fun having you, hearing your voice again. But again, before you take your leave, how do we get in touch with you good folks at Lloyd's?
Well, you can find us on the web, Denny, at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net. You can certainly come over and take a look and see what you're getting into. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Or give us a call after the long weekend at 651-228-1316.
Very good, Dan. Always good to hear from you, and you take care. Have a good holiday weekend. Say hi to the good folks at your family and all the good folks at Lloyd's, too. We'll talk to you real soon, I hope.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat straight ahead. Then Mary Meyer and Eric Watkins from the U of M will be talking on our Smart Garden Show next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO.